In our last story this hour, in Bahrain, demonstrations have been held against the regime's violent crackdown and the killing of pro-democracy protesters. In the predominantly Shia village of Bani Jamrah in the northwest, people protested peacefully over the murder of two protesters by the regime forces. Carrying pictures of the slain protesters, they formed a human pyramid at the end of the rally and waved Bahraini flags. The village has been the scene of a brutal crackdown, with regime forces opening fire on unarmed protesters on many occasions. Early on Friday, the police fired tear gas and stun grenades at anti-regime protesters on the island of Sitra, south of the capital Manama. Since 2011, demonstrations against the Al Khalifa regime have been held almost every day in Bahrain. Troops from Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates were called in to assist the Bahraini regime in its crackdown on protesters. Right now, from West Virginia, I'm joined by Professor Colin Cavell. Welcome to the program. So, Professor, in a couple of days, Bahrain will be marking the third anniversary of its revolution. Just how much has this revolution been able to achieve?
From the upcoming three-year anniversary of the Bahraini democratic revolt is indeed a time for celebration. It's true that there's much more struggle lying ahead and that the 231-year-old monarchy is still nominally in power. But consider the following advances. The monarchy has lost all legitimacy, Hassan. While some advocated for a possible transition to a constitutional monarchy back on February 14, 2011, that notion is no longer viable. That notion is mocked at and laughed at by the people of Bahrain. The citizenry, secondly, has lost all fear of the Al Khalifa and their hired goons, and their mercenary police force. When they see American John Timoney or British John Yates come to govern their forces, they know that it's external imperial centers that control the country. When they see the Peninsula Field Force being sent in by the 1889-year-old dictator of Saudi Arabia, King Abdullah, they know that they're living in a prison and that they must throw off these chains. Moreover, Hassan, when they see edicts like the recent one issued by King Abdullah threatening to fine and imprison anybody who insults the king, or in other words, expressing their universal right of freedom of speech, they know they're living in a country with a ruler who has absolutely no legitimacy. And the only answer is to revolt. So when they see liberty eroded in the kingdom, when they see that their children are growing up in this prison, then they know they have to stand up. But also, Hassan, when they see this regime act in irrational ways and cut off all liberty, all freedom of speech, continue to imprison and torture people, hold ridiculous, irrational sessions of monologue where they do not have any type of give and take at all, they know the regime is scared, the regime is isolated, and the regime is at its end.
And very briefly, Professor, tell us how the media, what kind of a role does the media play in making the Bahrain revolution make progress or prevent it from gaining success?
Well, that depends on which media you talk about. If you talk about Press TV or RTV or CCTV or other countries, you see a lot of positive reporting on the Bahrain revolution. But when you come to the West and you look at some Western European media or the United States in particular, you see silence. And the reason, of course, there's no way to defend the despotic dictatorship. There's no way to defend torture. There's no way to defend killing. It goes against the values, the stated values of the United States for a democratic country to be propping up aging monarchs in Saudi Arabia, or the dictatorship, the monarchical dictatorship of Bahrain. So they just remain silent.
Indeed. Well, we'll leave it there for the time. Many thanks to Professor Colin Cavell from West Virginia. Thanks to your thoughts, sir.